Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Longevity seems to be a hot topic. The blue zones are five distinct areas in the world where people live long with vitality and good quality of life. The Mediterranean diet is one of the most well-researched diets to demonstrate a pattern of eating and lifestyle that offers many elements for health, including lower risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, and stroke. There's also evidence to show its protective nature for brain, mood, and gut health. Enter Sardinia, Italy, an island off of the mainland of Italy, the boot of the map, a Mediterranean area which is also in a blue zone. Some of the interesting characteristics of the Blue Zone and Mediterranean diet are discussed on this episode as Rob and Sandra experience some of the highlights of the lifestyle with their trip to this Mediterranean Blue Zone.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm really good.
Yeah, how come?
I'm refreshed and feeling good, like gonna live a lot longer.
Why is that?
We've just returned from Sardinia, Italy, one of the Mediterranean areas and also a blue zone.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about today is the Mediterranean diet mixed with the blue zone for longevity and good health.
We tried it. So we're going to give you our review and our insights on firsthand knowledge of eating in Italy and the blue zones and Sardinia and all the tricks they have to live forever.
It's not quite live forever, but it's pretty cool. We talked about the blue zones for longevity with Liz Weiss, episode 117. So people can refer back to that one. And that was a really good one with lots of background information about the blue zones. Remember what the blue zones means? Because people sometimes say, what do you mean blue zones? What's that?
I don't know why they're blue, but I think originally, they identified all these places in the world where people are living into their hundreds in good health, and they put a blue dot on the map. I think that's where the term blue zone came from, and they called these places the blue zones, and Sardinia is one of them.
You got it. Exactly. And there's two places in, like, there's five areas in the world that are considered the blue zones that exactly they put a blue circle on the map, and two of them are in the Mediterranean. So Icarus, Greece, and Sardinia, Italy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, and basically there's a high concentration of people in their elder years in good health. So 80s, 90s, hundreds, like into their hundreds.
Yeah.
And so longevity is the
factor that they're focusing on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And vitality. So good health.
Yeah, not just old, but old and like still giving her.
Yeah, still happy to get up in the morning and feeling productive and feeling like giving back. So that's the other thing, is a reason to get up in the morning. That's like the whole, like the why.
Mm-hmm. We heard this interview with a guy who had traveled to Sardinia and he visited an orchard that was run by a guy who was 102.
That's right.
And he's still running it. Like, that's the crazy thing. You know, like, it's not like he owns it and he's like just sitting on, like, no, he's actually
Running it. Yeah. Yeah. And the interviewer said, oh, I wonder if he's helping his dad run it.
Yeah. That would be funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. But also with the Blue Zones, there's a big component with other factors of lifestyle too. So it's not just that they're living longer. It's not necessarily genetic, but it's what they're doing in their life. So it's their diet, what they're eating, it's their activity, physical activity, daily exercise, not necessarily going to the gym, not at all, actually.
No, not at all.
It's the social connections that they have with their community and their family, the feeling, the purpose, like getting up in the morning, having purpose in life, and less stress. So a lower level of stress. And oh, the big thing too is long meals and a big siesta in the midday.
Yeah. Yeah. We can tell you about that.
Yeah.
Not that we had one, but we were out exploring and, you know, trying to find places to eat and, or shops to go in, and everything's closed for like the good part of the middle of the day. Like, yeah. 11 till 3, 4 o'clock,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah, yeah, 11 till 4. Everything is pretty much.
It was tough. Yeah. We'd go through these little towns. We rented a car and we did a lot of driving around. And you go through these little towns and there'd be like nobody. Like, they'd be empty. But we're like, oh, well, it's noon. Everyone's at home. You know, like all the shops are boarded up and stuff. And it looked deserted. But everyone's at home sleeping or having their siesta or downtime or whatever. And then at night, everything comes alive again. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it literally boarded up. Like, they were not open. There was no one around. It was like a ghost town. Remember that? There was a couple places that we drove through, like beach towns, where everything was closed. And it was noon or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we went to like the insurance place in Canada before our trip to get the international driver's license. And the guy happened to be Italian who was helping you. And he kind of gave you the lowdown of how things work in Italy in terms of,
yeah,
things are shut down between 11 and, you know, sometime in the afternoon. And he was right.
Yeah, for sure. I bet in the bigger cities, like in probably Rome, you wouldn't find that as much. But in the small, like little country villages, definitely that's kind of the theme.
Yeah.
It's just how they roll.
Yeah. And it was awesome. I mean, to think, you know, that they're home with family and they're having a downtime. I mean, this is probably a reason that they have less stress and that they live longer.
Mm-hmm. We even went to a garage. We got a flat tire on a rental car and I had to like find a garage to fix the flat. And I was looking, I found a place and I was checking their hours and it said, you know, like 8 till noon and then like 2 till 5 or something. Like, there was a good solid 2 hours in the middle of the day when they were closed. And that, you don't find that in Canada or North America even. I mean, it's open from 7 till 7 in the morning, right through till like 6 at night. And then they're even there late, like doing paperwork and stuff, you know, like they're just open all the time.
Yeah.
Those kind of businesses, you know, because they don't want to lose the money.
Yeah.
I don't want to close for 2 hours and lose money. You know, that's, the money is more of a priority than the health and taking time off and de-stressing and all that.
And just being with your family.
Yeah,
and
it's
eating
interesting.
Meals with your family. And yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing, is it's that long, like it's not a fast meal, like, you know, on the run and eating while you're driving, that kind of thing. It's like, it's a slow food. It's like sitting down and having wine with lunch. We went to a place where there was a lunch because it was a big gathering and there was wine served at lunch, which is really cool, like in the middle of the day. And it's just part of the, one of the liquids that's offered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like nobody really knew. It was an event that we were a part of and lunch was served, but nobody really knew what the deal was. And they just kept bringing food, but nobody knew that there was more food coming. And they just kept bringing food and food and more food. And like it was like a 6-course lunch.
Oh yeah.
And so by the time the last stuff arrived, which is like, well, the last thing was a dessert, but the main course was a beautiful pasta. It was like a beef stroganoff, but really amazing, like flavors and
not hamburger helper.
No, not hamburger helper. Like I never liked beef stroganoff because it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't made like this. But yeah, when that finally came out, everyone was full because they thought, oh, I guess we're only eating carrot sticks and you know, cheese and meat and olives and, you know, all the things we'd had before that. And they thought it's just nibbles, but
it just kept coming.
It kept, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was like, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 courses. And then they even brought like this delicious chocolate. I don't even know what it was, but the desserts. Oh, so good.
Yeah. Really quality.
Yeah.
Like flavors, ingredients.
Oh, and just, and the wine. Oh my gosh. Like you go to the grocery store, just like their supermarket, and there's like just shelves and shelves of wine, like all different kinds and a lot of local. And they're basically like 99 cents for a bottle, which, well, 99 cents euros, but yeah, just incredible. And it's local. Like they don't, I don't even think they export much wine.
Yeah, it was like an entire aisle. I've never seen that much local wine. Mm-hmm. And like Sandra said, it was dirt. I mean, they had bottles that were more expensive too, but we bought one of the cheaper ones and it was unreal. Like it was better than any wine I tasted before. And it was like a $2 bottle of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so good.
And you know, with that wine, you get the polyphenols and the resveratrol and so many, but it just tastes so good. It's so rich and full body and delicious.
Mm-hmm. So we had to buy another one.
Yeah.
It was part of our daily routine because that's what they do in Sardinia. So we thought we'd play along.
That's right. Yeah.
Just so it was accurate and, you know, authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we were driving around, there's sheep farms everywhere. And it was interesting because I remember hearing about, oh yeah, their physical activity and like the shepherds, they're walking for miles every day. Keeping, you know, herding the sheep. And, but it's what we saw was a lot of the shepherds, in quotes, shepherd, were in their cars just sitting beside the sheep with their collie dog kind of on the back in the trunk, just waiting
in the trunk.
Well, you know, just sitting in the back.
On call.
Yeah, on call. Yeah. On the
Maybe there's like, to be fair to the shepherds, maybe they do some walking when they're ready to move their herd or something and they sit in their car and wait.
Oh yeah, no, that's just modern living, right?
Yeah, it makes sense
to do that, but it's just interesting to see how times change and things do evolve and change, even in these remote villages and communities.
I joked to Sandra, I said he's probably sitting there looking at his Facebook on his iPhone while his sheep are roaming around.
That's funny. Yeah. And they do have like a lot of the cheese was like a goat cheese or like the dairy was made from
goat milk.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. And that's the next thing. So let's talk about the food. What's the different elements of, if you think of like the Mediterranean diet, it's more.
Before you go on, I just want to make a comment about the cheese. I just remember we stopped at this just kind of local grocery store. It was I don't know, the equivalent of a, you know, like a Loblaws or whatever you'd have in Canada or Safeway or something like that. It was a chain grocery store and we wanted some cheese and I went to like the cheese deli kind of counter place. They had so many different kinds of cheese. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And not the packaged cheese like you buy here. But just all different local
fresh
specialty. Yeah. Fresh. Yeah. It was pretty incredible seeing how many different local varieties they had. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was so delicious. I mean, the way it melted and, the different ways we, ate it.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
Snacks were pretty epic. Right. I mean, seriously, like, we had some just olives and sun-dried tomatoes and what else did we get? I don't know, just a bunch of little snacky things that we'd have with olive oil, you know, like bread and olive oil, and our wine sort of late afternoon, happy hour, I guess we call it in North America, but maybe, I don't know what they call it there, but.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like before dinner.
Yeah. Cause dinner there is like 8 o'clock at night. Like right. Things aren't even open. You can't even go to a restaurant before like 7.
That's
I don't
true.
Think they're open.
They weren't open. That's right. Because they said they were open on their website. And then we got there and we don't open until 7:30 or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. We had to really flip our lifestyle on its head because that's easy. You know, we're eating early and going to bed early, you know, and there it's totally different. So,
yeah. But it was like you get into the groove and there's a rhythm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, that's so fun. It was really, almost refreshing. Like it was, I don't know. It was vacation too. So
yeah,
there's the thing about being on vacation.
Well, it was real. I mean, that's cool. Like you go to some places like Disneyland and it's the opposite of real. You know what I mean? Like it's fun, but it's just like so commercial where this was the opposite of that. It was just like very
authentic
and natural and just like, yeah, real. It was pretty neat to experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that like eating together was definitely a theme you could see. Families getting together, big, you know, groups eating together. And with regards to, if you think of like the Mediterranean diet, it is one of the most well-researched diets around. And there is evidence to suggest that it helps with reduction of cardiovascular disease, stroke, heart attack. Mm-hmm. And part of it is the nutritional quality of the food that's in the Mediterranean diet. So
right.
Sardinia is part of that. And you think of the, it's like whole minimally processed foods, less of the refined carbohydrates and sugars. It's plant focused or plant based, but not strictly vegetarian per se. There is a blue zone, Loma Linda, California, that the people are vegetarian, but with the Mediterranean diet kind of or lifestyle or dietary pattern, it's not necessarily vegetarian, but it is plant focused. So there's generally, you know, you think of the vegetables, the fruits, like all the different types of plants and plant varieties, whole grains, legumes, beans, mm-hmm. lentils, garbanzo beans and chickpeas and...
Yeah, all sorts. I mean, just the whole spectrum of beans.
The soybeans and fava beans. The butter beans? What are those ones that you are making? The
gigantes?
Gigantes.
Yeah.
Well,
they're actually called gigantes beans, but you don't get those in North America. I think they're just in Greece or maybe Europe, but large lima beans or kidney beans, white kidney beans. That's usually what I use. But
yeah. Yeah. The white beans. And then there's the black beans and the pinto beans. Like there's just so many varieties of legumes or lentils or beans that's one of the common themes of all the blue zones is beans are eaten fairly often, at least 3 to 4 times a week. So in our podcast, we have been talking about beans a lot. Episode 42 is all about beans. They're good for your heart episode. And we suggest try to eat half a cup of beans every day. So if that means, you know, including hummus in your snacks or having lentil soups or black bean burrito, bean salad, all the different ways to eat beans. So you made a really good bean dish in Sardinia.
I did. Yeah. Well, and we ended up, I just made the gigantes that I make quite a bit, which is basically beans and tomatoes, a bit vegetables in there. And we threw in some olives that we had and some sun-dried tomatoes. And it was so good. So good. There's so much flavor and they're so easy to make. And we've shared a recipe. I think if you're subscribing to our newsletter, we shared that recipe a few weeks ago, but yeah, that's one of our go-tos here for sure.
Oh, it was so creamy and just delicious. So flavorful, like every mouthful with the olives and the butter beans or whatever beans you use. It was so delicious. Actually, I think it was chickpeas you used in that.
I did actually use chickpeas. Yeah. Yeah. And then you put cheese on top and olive oil. Oh. And that's just like the finishing touch. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so delicious. Yeah. And with the Mediterranean diet, some areas do have fish or seafood, Sardinia especially, because it is an island. So they do have a lot of seafood. And if you don't like seafood, probably not a great place to go visit. But yeah, remember we got those
fresh mussels.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh,
they were good.
That was so good. Like it was like a whole plate. Like it was one of those, it was almost like a bowl,
mm-hmm.
like a just a big, massive amount of them.
And I don't know if you looked at the bill, but they were like $7.
Yeah.
They were so cheap because
yeah.
I thought, oh, this is going to be pricey, a big thing of mussels, but they're in such large quantities that they're not rare there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so local. I mean, they just caught them, or they just got them right that day.
And fresh.
Oh, so good. And there are some, like with Mediterranean diet, also some includes red meat, like lamb possibly, or other red meat, and then dairy also. So there, you know, yogurt, cheese, as we mentioned, are some common elements of the Mediterranean diet. And do you remember some of the areas like around the Mediterranean region, other than Sardinia that we're talking about in Italy? But there's like Greece and Spain.
Mm-hmm. Like Northern Africa.
Yeah. Morocco.
Yeah.
That's right. Southern France. Portugal, Turkey. So yeah, and all of those places have different cultural foods. So there's not just one type of like Mediterranean diet in quotes. It's like a meal pattern. And it does emphasize the plant-focused eating, but also some really healthful fats. Like we're talking about the olive oil and like avocado and the nuts and all those really good healthy fats.
I have a feeling with their meat, and this is just based on what I saw there, so that's why I'm saying I have a feeling, it's not fact, but I'd feel pretty confident in saying that it is fact. I'm guessing the meat that they eat is pretty fresh, pretty like homegrown, not farm, like factory farmed, you know, like the way a lot of the stuff is in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So the meat they're getting and including in their diet is healthy. It's not full of who knows what.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. One of their traditional meals is a suckling pig, but we didn't actually experience that. I've just heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you're right, though. There's probably like the sausage and the types of meat that they have from the lamb or from the different livestock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not eaten a lot. It's not a big part of their week, but it's available. And yeah, it's part of that Mediterranean diet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really cool, like thinking of all of those factors that are elements to good health and, you know, some pages we can take away and take home to help with improving our own lifestyle and helping with preventing chronic diseases and helping with our own health and having some balance in life, right? So less stress, work-life balance. And also remember Liz Weiss, when we talked to her on episode 117 on the Blue Zones for Longevity, she did emphasize that whole principle, especially in Japan, Okinawa, Japan. Remember the 80% full?
Oh, yeah. It was the 80-20 rule, but we know, we have a different 80-20 rule as far as what foods you can eat, but that was an 80% full. You stop eating.
Yeah. So they are in tune with their hunger and their internal cues of fullness. And when they're getting full, like they're feeling like, oh, okay, I'm, you know, almost full, like 80%.
The button's just about to pop.
Yeah, yeah. They stop eating. So even if the plate still has food on it, or, you know, it's just more like gauging how you're feeling versus what the portions are,
mm-hmm.
and the external factors of like the plate size or the bowl size or whatever. So that's the other element, which is a really good rule of thumb for everybody to use. And, you know, we can take some lessons from our kids, because kids know their own hunger. And when they are turning away their face to the fork, or they just don't want to eat anymore, you know that they're probably full and there's going to be a meal in 3 to 4 hours. So there's no reason to keep pushing for that.
You always get full when there's one bite left.
I've been using this rule for many years.
That's a different rule though. It's like the, what would we call it? You literally have one bite left on your plate and you're like, oh, I'm still stuffed. Like, can you finish it? I'm like, there's only one bite left. Surely you can fit that in.
No.
It's like you just don't want to eat everything on your plate.
Maybe.
You'll eat everything except the last bite.
I'm like rebelling against that clean your plate. Yeah,
It seems like it. It's kind of interesting.
It's like, no, I'm full.
Because it would be different if sometimes there was like 8 bites left, but it's always there's one bite left. Oh, I'm full.
One of your bites, maybe 2 or 3 of mine.
Yeah. It's like I put that extra little bit on my plate again. That's so funny.
That's funny. Yeah. So it's really cool to experience, you know, kind of like the Mediterranean lifestyle / Blue Zone area with the Sardinia. And it was a really cool experience. And we wanted to talk about it because it's like bringing some of these theoretical ideas to life and actually living through it. So it was an interesting experiment.
Exactly. There's one more thing we need to talk about.
And what's that?
The pizza.
Oh, okay.
I had the most amazing pizza, and it was at the, I asked the server what she recommended, because I figured they would know best. We each got our own pizza. And she recommended this, she called it a white pizza, which means there's no tomato sauce on it. And I didn't quite understand when she was explaining it, but I'm just saying, okay, whatever, it sounds good, I'll get it. And when it came, it was amazing. It looked like a salad on a pizza.
It
was so good.
Like arugula and tomatoes.
And mozzarella olives. Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Sandra bought some pizza shells today that I'm going to make that. I guess they make like an olive oil garlic kind of sauce, and they like infuse the crust or whatever, and then they bake that, and then they put all the toppings on cold so that when you eat it, it's like, it's just really interesting. But that was so good and so different than what I'd experienced pizza like before. I mean, they're not all like that. You can get normal pizza too, and they're all thin crust from what we saw. Really tasty, just fresh ingredients and simple, delicious.
So good. Oh yeah. Yeah. So delicious. And just the basic. I mean, you can taste all the ingredients with just the one with sauce and cheese and basil.
And remember the cheese? This was when I made gigantes at home, and I put some mozzarella on it. But the cheese is so stringy that, you know, like when you lift it up off the plate and you get this big string and you lift it high enough and it'll break. Well, it never broke. I was lifting it like 5 feet up off the plate and it still wouldn't break. And it was crazy. It was just this like stringy, gooey.
Yes.
It was wild.
Oh, so good. Yeah, that's right. I love the cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, it was neat.
So delicious. Yeah. So, and it's interesting because if you think about these ways of eating and lifestyle, they're not like overcomplicating things. Like it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. They don't eliminate carbs. They don't, you know, count calories. No,
they definitely don't eliminate carbs.
No.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, a lot of the food is, if you think about the beans and the pizza and the breads and the potatoes and
pasta.
The rice. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all sorts.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the prebiotics feeding the gut biome. Yeah. They also don't do fancy, complicated, you know, oh, is this going to affect the like glycemic index? Like they don't worry about that. And they're not like cutting out dairy and wheat and gluten. It's just a whole different lifestyle. And yeah, we can take a page out of their book.
Out of their Blue Zone book.
Yeah. The original Blue Zone by Dan Buettner. And it's, it's an interesting way of looking at things for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was pretty fun to experience. We're definitely going back. It's worth checking out. Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks for joining us today. I hope that was interesting for you and inspired you to go visit Sardinia and cruise around like we did. It's a great different world than what we're used to here, and maybe inspire you to change up a few things in your own life.
We'd love to hear if anyone out there has been there or in another Blue Zone. It'd be great to hear your experience.
Like, yeah, true.
If you've ever been to Icarus, Greece, and that's also a Mediterranean area, or maybe Okinawa, Japan, or Nicoya, Costa Rica, or
Loma
Linda, California. So those are all the different Blue Zones, and it'd be interesting to hear what people thought of their experience if they've traveled there or lived there.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know.
Yeah, you can email us at mywifetherd@gmail.com. You can email us anyway. And if you have questions, comments, you just want to say hi, whatever. We love hearing from listeners, getting feedback. It's all super helpful, and it's fun to meet some of the listeners too. Check out our website too. We've got all sorts of stuff on there. We've got a great blog with all kinds of information. And we've got a newsletter that we do once a week. You can sign up for that on the website. We are also on social media. You can check us out there. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Yeah, and if you could, if you enjoy the show or appreciate what you're hearing, then please tell one other friend or a family member or colleague or coworker, or like Rob says, your neighbor, or just someone that you run into.
The guy beside you in traffic.
That's right.
He probably needs something new to listen to anyway.
That's a few people, different people that we met along our journeys are now listeners also, which is awesome.
Yes. Hello, new friends.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. Like we said, if you like the show, you can also rate and review it. That helps us out. It also helps other people find it, which is great for everyone. So yeah, we will be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. So until then, have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review, and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.